So this is England. I'm Joseph. This is Input English. Today we have another original story for you for Comprehensible Input. This story is part of a playlist. It's a serialized story, and you will find the other episodes on the playlist entitled Stories About the Mysterious Ben Harper. The words I started with, "So this is England," were the thoughts coming into the mind of Ben Harper. However, as you may know, Ben Harper, the name, is an alias that this fellow used in the 21st century. In the 18th century, he was known as Gil. So for this episode, I'm going to refer to him by his given name, Gil. Gil has just arrived by ship in Plymouth, England, in the south of Devon. His ship went directly from Salem, Massachusetts to Plymouth. It was a long voyage and the weather was not great, but he made it intact. The ship docked at the wharf in Plymouth and he has disembarked. Now he has his first task, which is to find lodgings. He needs to find a place to stay. He walked away from the wharf and toward the center of town, and soon he found a pub, a small inn, and he went in and had a meal. While this was happening, the owner of the establishment asked him where he was from. Now, this fellow, the owner of the inn, was very familiar with travelers coming in from all over the world because Plymouth is a major seaport. He was not surprised that Gil said he was from America. He asked him what he was doing in England, and Gil said he wasn't entirely sure. He was there to learn a lot and explore, but he didn't have a specific goal in mind. The innkeeper was quite puzzled by this. That's not an answer he usually gets. Gil inquired where he could stay the night, and the innkeeper said that he had a room. Gil decided to stay in Plymouth for a few days to get his bearings, to get oriented and figure out where he wanted to go. During these days, he walked around Plymouth and explored. He looked for opportunities to speak with people, and many times that was in a pub. He found it easy to strike up conversations because people noticed that he dressed differently and he spoke differently. During these conversations, he asked people where it would be good for him to go to find a nice place to stay and enjoy England. A few of these conversations directed him to London, but more often than not, people were critical of London because it was so heavily populated, so busy, and so hectic. Many people told him that London is London, but it's not very English. He noticed that a lot of people directed him to various places with which they were familiar. Many people suggested he go up north. Others suggested that he go toward the east, toward Sussex, south of London. After quite a few of these conversations, he started to see a pattern arising. The pattern he saw was that people really liked Devon. He was already in Devon. But having spent several days in Plymouth, he wasn't particularly impressed with Plymouth. It's a busy port city, and that isn't what he wanted. In one excellent conversation with an older fellow, he was told that the place for him would be Exeter. The fellow explained that if he wanted a seaside community that was lovely, he should go to Torquay. But if he wants a nice town, a college town with lots to offer, without the hectic negative aspects of the port city, he should definitely go to Exeter. He received enough recommendations that suggested Exeter as a good place that he planned to go there. On the fourth day, he departed for Torquay. He spent a night there and agreed that it was a lovely seaside community. He enjoyed his stay there, but he wanted to get on to Exeter. His travel to Exeter was uneventful, and when he arrived, he made his way up to the High Street and found the Royal Clarence Hotel just off the High Street on the Cathedral Close. When he arrived at the Royal Clarence, they had a room for him, so he checked in. He planned on duplicating his previous behavior, that is, stay at his initial lodging for a few days, refine his plans, and then move to another location. But he wasn't planning on leaving Exeter. He was planning on getting a room or an apartment to stay long term. He was going to stay in Exeter for weeks or perhaps months. This went exactly as planned. At the Royal Clarence Hotel, he was given the name of Mrs. Pugh, who had rooms to let. Her house was within walking distance of the High Street, giving him easy access by walking. Her house was also very close to the quay. That would give him access to a location for long walks. He made his way to Mrs. Pugh's house, and indeed she had a room to rent to him on a long-term basis. He made the arrangements and settled in. At this phase of his stay in Exeter, he was exploring. He found the Roman ruins. He found the quay. He found ways of walking for hours to take in the sights of Exeter. He found the university. After a few weeks on one of his walks, he found himself on the Cathedral Green in front of the Royal Clarence Hotel. He had been inside the cathedral and had marveled at its construction. He was walking on the green, studying the outside features of this large cathedral. He was walking in one direction and looking in another direction, and this resulted that he nearly collided with a young woman who was minding her own business, also walking on the Cathedral Green. They avoided the collision, and he asked her forgiveness. Her response was laughter. That made him very self-conscious and wondered what she was laughing at. So he asked her, "What did you laugh at?" She said, "Well, it is a little funny that this green is so large and there are so few people, and yet we nearly collided." He felt embarrassed. She read that in his face and said, "But don't give it another thought. I rather enjoyed it. That's the first time I've laughed in a long time." It was at that moment they made eye contact, and he stopped. He didn't really know what to say next. He sputtered, not knowing what to say. And then he introduced himself. She said, "You're not from around here. The way you dress and the way you talk, I'm estimating that you are from America." He said, "Quite true. From Salem, near Boston." She introduced herself as Giselle. He estimated that that wasn't a very English name. And she didn't take offense. She just pointed out that that was her given name because her mother was French. But she grew up in Devon. They found a place to sit down and they talked for a long time. It was very polite, and gradually they disclosed to each other bits and pieces of their history so that each got to know the other better. Giselle is a young widow. Her husband died in military service 4 years earlier. She really didn't know where he died or how he died. The British Army just said that he was a casualty. Gil, too, disclosed the loss of his wife. It seems they have things in common. Gil did not act as if he was pursuing her. Quite on the contrary, he was very polite and kept his distance. She, on the other hand, wanted to see him again. She wanted to talk to him. She enjoyed her time talking to him in the cathedral green. She asked if he might join her for another talk, perhaps later in the week. Initially, he was resistant, but then he told himself, why not? That can't hurt anything. Giselle asked him what he had seen in the area, and she found that he was fairly well informed. She suggested that they walk down to the quay and walk along the water. She explained that she likes to do that, but since she is alone now, a widow, she doesn't walk there by herself. She hasn't been there in a long time, but she would greatly appreciate being taken down to the quay for a nice long walk. They made that walk. They walked down past the Port Royal Inn and a little further before they turned back. Giselle emphasized that she wanted to have another walk in a few days. She extracted a promise from him that he would make himself available for that. Gil understood this in terms of allowing her more freedom because there are many places in town that she would not venture unescorted. He felt he was doing a service. He also enjoyed her company. He found himself a little alarmed by her piercing glances. When they made eye contact, it made him nervous. It reminded him of glances he got from his late wife. At this stage, he was trying to not develop another romance. He was so severely hurt by the loss of his wife. He just didn't want that to ever happen again. It took him years to recover this much from her loss. In this respect, Gil didn't get his way. The romance was inevitable. It was driven by her behavior. She was so alive, so interesting, and so sweet. Gil realized that he had no choice. Now Gil's got a big problem because he did not want this to happen. He did not want to expose himself to the potential of another catastrophic loss. The last one nearly killed him. This one surely would, if he were to lose this lady. Gil just didn't know what to do about this. He was drawn to her by her magic, by her loveliness, but at the same time, he was repelled by his remembrance of devastating loss. In the next episode, we will find out how Gil and Giselle manage this conflict. I invite comments below, and if you like videos like this, be sure to click on this one next. See you soon.